Welcome back to the second episode of my Strength Training for Runners podcast. I'm Tim Edgerton from Foxwood Personal Training in York, and this is Strength Training for Runners. So, after my first episode of this podcast, I did get a bit of feedback from certain individuals along the lines that runners actually don't need any of this kind of stuff at all. You know, runners do not need to be engaging in strength training. Pretty much the vibe I was getting was, if you bang up the mileage, if you ramp up the mileage, do some quality sessions, get the race pace working along with the high mileage work, you're going to be fine. You're going to get the results. Your performances are going to be there. And you just, there's no need for strength training. It's not something that runners need to be doing. So I did a little Instagram post in response to this, actually. So if you want to look at my Instagram page, it's at Foxwood Personal Training. I put up a bit of a response to this on Instagram, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about it here as well. And my first response to this was to look at the training of the best runners in the world, in particular the best runners of the world all time, because in one line of argument that an individual put to me was the fact that there are many runners out there much faster than myself, much faster than what I have managed to achieve, that have never engaged in strength training. And I thought that, you know, that's fair enough to an extent. That's a fair enough line of argument to say, maybe I use strength training within my running training programs, but people who have never touched that kind of stuff have actually run much faster than me. So why is there a need for it? And I understand that line of argument, but at the same time, if you are going to use that line of argument, then I think you also need to accept that we need to look at what the absolute best runners in the world have done. So I took a look at the training of various world record holders over the different distances. And I think it's fair to say that most people would accept the need for strength training amongst sprinters. So I kind of excluded sprinters from this analysis, if you like, and I looked at the world record holders for every distance from 1500 meters upwards. So if we take the world record holder for the 1500 meters, it's Hicham El Gharouj. And actually, El Gharouj's training is massively documented, has been for a long time, but you can easily find information on El Gharouj's training. And in particular, it's well documented that El Gharouj does indeed perform quite a bit of strength training, you know, on a regular, frequent basis, and fairly comprehensive sessions as well. He performs squats, he performs lunges, he performs step-ups, he does various exercises with machines. I'm not talking in the present tense here. I should be talking in past tense. I do realise he's retired. But yeah, he performed all these kind of strength training exercises on a regular and frequent basis. He did a lot of core work, and it was carefully integrated into his overall running program. One little point with El Gharouj's strength training is that I would say that it was on the lighter side. So he didn't perform a lot of heavy work for low repetitions. It was more a case of using light weights for high repetitions. So it wasn't pure strength work. It certainly wasn't maximum strength training. So there is that point to consider, but nonetheless, it is a form of strength training and part of his training that he religiously took part in. So if we look at the training of the 1500 meter world record holder, it featured heavily in there, and he did plyometric work and all kinds of other strength related type training as well. If we move up to the 5000 and 10000 meter distances, the world record holder at both of these distances is Kenenisa Bekele. Now, the training of Bekele is much less well documented, but I've had a look around, I've tried to find as much information on his training as possible, and I found some reputable sources, and it's quite clear that, again, Bekele did engage in strength training of some sort. We don't exactly know the precise details of his strength training work, but it's fairly irrefutable, I would say, that strength training formed an important part of Kenenisa Bekele's training. So again. So we've now got the 1500 meter world record holder, the 5,000 and 10,000 meter world record holder. They both performed strength training on a regular and frequent basis. Moving up in distance to the marathon distance, just focusing on Olympic distances here, really. Missing out things like half marathon, other intermediate distances, just to make life a little bit easier and more succinct. But if we move to the marathon distance, of course, we all know the world record holder at the marathon is Eliud Kipchoge. Of course, he famously went sub 2 hours in that special attempt to be the first person to break 2 hours. That's not the official world record, but he does also hold the official marathon world record as well. And we know for a fact that Kipchoge performs strength training simply because there's plenty of videos online of him doing just that. You know, he's with his group training away, doing various strength and conditioning type exercises. Again, it might not be super, super heavy stuff, but it's definitely strength and conditioning type work, and it's definitely something that forms an important part of his program. So we know pretty much for a fact that every world record holder from 1500 meters all the way up to marathon does include structured and well thought out strength training as part of their overall program. And not only that, but if we think about the most dominant distance runner on the track in recent years, Mo Farah, there's loads of information about the type of strength training work he's done. You know, he's done all sort kinds of stuff as part of the now defunct Oregon Project Group. You know, strength training was a massive part of that. We're not going to go into the details of exactly what was and was not done, but we know for a fact a lot of strength work was done as part of the overall program. So if all of the top class guys, if all of the fastest runners in the history of the world are engaging in strength training, it seems to me that you'd be silly to not at least consider the possible benefit of strength training for your own running or for your own coaching if you're a coach of runners. You know, it seems unwise to ignore it when all of the best runners in the world and all of the best runners in history have included it in one way or another in their programs. So that would be my first kind of rebuttal to what these individuals were saying in terms of you don't need strength training to improve your running. But we can look at it from more of a scientific perspective as well, you know, looking at the, you know, force production factors and motor unit recruitment and things like that. So let's look at each of those in turn. So in terms of, we touched on this last time in the podcast as well. So in terms of force production, the idea behind strength training is that you're improving your ability to produce force when the foot's in contact with the ground. Now, if you can increase that force potential, then when you're running at your race pace, it means you are now working at a lower percentage of your maximum force potential. And if you're working at a lower percentage of your maximum, it should essentially make life more easy for you. So you're becoming a more economical runner, you're being more efficient, you're saving energy. So that's one aspect in terms of how strength training will help to improve your running. And then we mentioned motor unit recruitment as well. So if you can think of motor units as a bunch of muscle fibers, and they're bunched together in high threshold motor units or low threshold motor units, and the threshold is referring to how easily they are recruited. So fast twitch type muscle fibers, which are very explosive, can produce a lot of force, they contract quickly, are generally bunched together in what we term high threshold motor units. And the reason why they're called high threshold motor units is because they require a greater nervous impulse in order to recruit them. You know, they're more difficult to recruit. We need more impetus in order to get them firing. And lower threshold motor units are more easily recruited. And these types of the type of fibers that you find within these lower threshold motor units are generally slower twitch fibers that are more suited to endurance activities, and they are more resistant to fatigue, but they're less explosive. They don't contract quite as quickly. They can't produce quite as much force. Now, of course, the lower threshold motor units, as you might expect, tend to be much better trained within endurance athletes, but if we can engage ourselves in some strength training in order to slightly train up those higher threshold motor units, that is actually a route to increasing our endurance, because when we get towards the end of a race and, you know, fatigue is really setting in and we're struggling to hold on to the pace, that part of the reason for that is obviously that the motor units, the muscle fibers that have been engaged for the majority of the race, are now getting super fatigued. But if we have a greater ability to tap into some of those higher threshold motor units, that's going to enable us to just to carry on that little bit longer, and for that little bit, that slightly greater period of time before the pace has to drop off. So by increasing our potential for motor unit recruitment, we can increase our endurance. So there's that element as well. And the final element is simply injury prevention. You know, we can become more robust as runners by engaging in activities other than running. We can develop our muscular system and, you know, our tendons and ligaments to an extent as well in other ways, which will make us more robust, less prevalent to injuries, because, you know, we're training the structures of the body in ways other than the monotonous running that forms such a large part of our training. So that's my kind of rebuttal to the feedback that runners do not need strength training. It's not something that's important for runners. They don't need to engage in it. That's my response. But moving away from that, let's talk about what's happened between last week and this week, because obviously we're still in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. You know, we can't get away from that, but there has been a major announcement between these last two episodes from Boris Johnson, our Prime Minister. You know, there's been an update, if you like, in terms of what we can and can't do in relation to lockdown. Some of the main implications from this latest announcement are that actually we can run twice a day now, so runners can get out, they can do more than one run a day. We're not limited to just going out once a day. He's pretty much said unlimited exercise outdoor, as long as you adhere to social distancing, etc. We can now run, we can do double days. We can run in the morning, we can run in the evening as well. We don't have to just run once a day. So that's great. But obviously you don't suddenly want to be jumping up from once a day to twice a day. You know, everything in training needs to be, it's a gradual process. So you need to bear that in mind. Don't suddenly go from once a day to twice a day every day. Maybe once or twice in the week you can add a second run in, but, you know, just take things gradually. Also, you know, for the time being, there's still no races in the calendar for the foreseeable future. You know, most of the lockdown restrictions are still in place. Things aren't really opening up all that much in terms of businesses opening for that were closed. So social distancing is still very much in place. So it seems unlikely that there's going to be any races in the foreseeable future. So there's nothing really to suddenly get in tip-top shape for. So you don't need to suddenly ramp up your mileage, increase the number of sessions you're doing, anything like that. Just gradually, you know, is the way, I think. There's not really any races for the foreseeable future. The Diamond League has made an announcement recently that they're going to be putting something in place from August onwards. Even that, I think, is probably up in the air. You know, British Athletics have tentatively put some dates in the diary for when they might have a British Championships and things like that, but nothing is concrete really. So I think there's nothing in the calendar as far as I'm concerned. There are virtual races taking place. The British Milers Club has put on a virtual mile, and they're about to put on a virtual kilometre, and I know other organisations have tried to do things like that as well. So if you did want to just carry on with training as normal, try and get in great shape, then there are ways in which you can test your fitness. But for me, I would still say what I said last week stands. You know, why not focus on other areas? Normally, you wouldn't have the same amount of time to focus on. So do a bit more strength training, do a bit more flexibility training, work on other areas that sometimes get neglected. But in terms of the strength training, again, it still needs to be, we're still looking at kind of bodyweight stuff for the most part, stuff that you can do at home without any equipment, unless you're lucky enough to have gym equipment at home. Because I think for the foreseeable future, the gyms are going to be, they're going to be closed for a while yet. I don't see the gyms opening before maybe September time, realistically. So any strength training we're engaged in, It's got to be simple bodyweight stuff on the whole. And last week we talked a lot about power, and I gave you some examples of effective power exercises that can be done at home without equipment. The exercises that I highlighted the most were squat jumps and split squat jumps. So I mentioned squat jumps in particular. Power output is maximized when you perform squat jumps without any additional load. So it's perfect for at home right now. You can just perform a series of squat jumps without any extra load, and it'll be a great tool for developing power. And the split squat jumps, we talked about the fact that there's a greater stretch on the glutes. It's more of a single leg type exercise. So there's aspects of that which you don't get from the standard squat jumps. So the two exercises support each other nicely when it comes to developing power. But this week I want to talk a bit more about exercises that can be used to train other important strength qualities for running. So power is of importance. We talked about that because we need to produce high levels of power as runners in order to produce ground contact forces while the limbs are moving at high speeds. But we also need high levels of explosive strength, because an important quality for runners is the ability to produce these forces during very short time periods. The foot is only in contact with the ground when you're running for very short periods of time before you become airborne again. And so that's why explosive strength is an important quality to develop, aside from just developing power. And just basic strength is important as well for runners, because that's basic strength development serves as a platform upon which to develop these other two qualities. You know, it serves as a platform for power development and a platform for explosive strength development. So if we maybe look at explosive strength first, explosive strength can be trained using weights in the gym, but generally I would think of plyometrics here. When I think of explosive strength training, in general I think of plyometric training. Not completely. As I say, it can be developed with weights in the gym, but on the whole, I'm thinking of plyometrics. And in essence, plyometric training is jump training. Now, that is an oversimplification, but it'll do for now. When we're doing plyometrics, we're essentially doing jump training. And excuse the pun here, but we don't want to jump straight into high impact, high intensity types of plyometrics. As with the mileage things we talked about, as with everything when it comes to training, it's a gradual process. Slowly, slowly does it. We want to gradually introduce qualities into our training. We don't just want to throw ourselves into it at the deep end. So gradual progression is absolutely key, especially with runners, due to the high volume of impacts that runners already deal with, simply due to getting the mileage in. And you know what? Because dealing with a high level or a high volume of impact from all the mileage we're doing, we may never want to massively progress our plyometric work. It's important to maybe have some in there, but keep it at a low level. Don't progress to really advanced versions, and certainly don't do lots and lots of it in terms of the volume and frequency. You know, keep it at a low level. A little goes a long way, I would say, with plyometric work and really strength training in general. It's important to have it in your program, but a little does go a long way. I always say you need to keep the main thing the main thing, and with runners, obviously running is the main thing. Don't get me wrong, obviously, you know, strength training is important. This is a strength training for runners podcast. I obviously believe in the importance of strength training, but that doesn't mean I think it has to be a massive focus within your program. A little does go a long way, but I think you do need it in there somewhere to an extent. But anyway, back to plyometrics in particular, and the fact that we don't want to jump in at the deep end. Let's keep it simple, let's keep it basic, let's keep with lower intensity, lower impact types of plyometrics. And with that in mind, to be honest, my first port of call in terms of recommendations for runners, especially if you're starting out with this type of work, would just be skipping. Get a skipping rope, do 5 minutes of skipping before you go out for a run, or maybe incorporate into the rest of your strength training program. It could be a 5-10 minutes of skipping as a warm-up before other types of strength training. That would be a great way of introducing more explosive types of work. It's not maximal effort, but it doesn't matter. You're dealing with short ground contact times. You're dealing with the ability to produce bursts of force within a very short time frame, and that's essentially what we're trying to do. when we're trying to develop the explosive aspect of force production in a way that will transfer across to our running performance. So scripting's a great way to start. My second port of call would probably be something like speed bounce. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about when I say speed bounce, just look into sports hall athletics. So obviously amongst the younger end of the age spectrum in athletics, there's a big scene for sports hall athletics, and they do certain events which you don't see in mainstream athletics. One of them is the speed bounce, and essentially it's like side to side jumping over a small barrier, and I think the competition involves doing as many side to side bounces as you can manage within a 1 minute time frame without touching the barrier. If you touch the barrier on a particular jump, then I think the jump doesn't count. In essence, that's what it is. That's the event. But I think that type of side-to-side jumping is great for runners because it adds a little bit of a different dimension. It adds a different movement pattern compared to your normal sagittal plane, you know, that forwards and backwards movement pattern that runners obviously engage in every time they go out for a run. It adds a different movement pattern, which makes it great for making more robust and less injury-prone athletes. You're providing different stresses on the body, which will train the ligaments and the tendons and the muscles in a way to make you more robust. Those would be my first two ports of call, really. Do some skipping, just 5 minutes before your strength training workout would be enough. You know, maybe you could do skipping 2-3 maybe times a week at the most for 5 minutes at a time. That would be plentiful. A few sets of speed bounce a few times a week would be a nice addition as well. And beyond that, I wouldn't add an awful lot more. Maybe some hopping would be good occasionally, because hopping in for distance is a great exercise for developing explosive qualities in runners. It's been shown to improve leg spring stiffness. I know I mentioned stiffness last week as well. I will at some point have an episode where we discuss this quality stiffness, but it's highly related to explosive strength, and hopping seems to be great for developing that quality. But I'd be pretty judicious in the use of hopping for distance, because it is more intense. The impact is greater with hopping. So, you know, maybe only in easier blocks of running would I incorporate hopping for distance. Maybe when your mileage is a bit lower and you're not doing so many intense sessions, maybe you can add certain higher intensity activities such as hopping for distance during those periods. But when you're training hard, when your mileage is up and you're smashing out some good sessions, I wouldn't incorporate the higher intensity plyometrics during those times. I would keep it at a lower level, probably just with things like skipping and maybe some of that speed bounce that we discussed. That would be enough, I think. As I said earlier, you can develop explosive strength in the weight room as well, and so that would provide additional options, I guess, for when, you know, you are pushing the running training a little bit harder. So you could still develop these explosive strength qualities without risking injury so much, because you can do it with certain weight exercises that don't have as much impact. But obviously that's not so relevant right now, because we can't get to the gyms, we can't use the weights unless you've got a set of weights and stuff at home. So we'll leave that discussion for maybe another episode in the future. And that's really all I'd recommend in terms of the explosive strength training front. As I keep on saying, a little goes a long way. You don't need to be doing lots and lots. Just small amounts are sufficient to get the adaptations we're looking for. So we'll move on to more basic types of strength development now. And I won't spend too long on this. I just maybe want to give you guys an outline of some of the exercises that are my go-to exercises for runners. So if I'm strength training an athlete, a runner, if I'm coaching them through the weights program, then some of the exercises that I like to use are the barbell hip thrust, back squats, Bulgarian split squats, Romanian deadlifts. We'll go into more detail onto the rationale of some of these exercises sometime in the future. For now, I just want to, I guess, address how we can maybe do versions of these exercises at home without weights equipment, because I think that's what's going to be of most use to people right now. So obviously a barbell back squat is not really something we're going to be doing right now, but the Bulgarian split squat is something that can definitely be incorporated into your home strength programs right now. So the Bulgarian split squat is often also called the rear foot elevated split squat, and that's a more descriptive name, if you like, because what it involves is placing your rear foot on an elevated object, and then your front foot is going to be on the floor. So you're in a split squat position, but your back foot is elevated off the ground. And then from there, you just lower yourself down and come back up and perform a squat type of movement. It's great for runners. It recruits the glutes well. It stretches off the hip flexors, which is great. It's a single leg exercise, which has its benefits. So there's a lot of benefits there. But in particular, because it is a single leg exercise, or largely single leg, a little bit of force does go through the back leg as well, but you're primarily using the front leg. And because of that, you don't need a lot of load with this exercise. And in fact, if you went for slightly higher repetitions, you don't necessarily need any load at all. You know, if you did 15 or even 20 reps of Bulgarian split squats, just using your body weight, not using any additional load, that would be quite challenging for most people. So that's an exercise you can definitely incorporate into your home programs. In terms of what you use to elevate your back foot, just a sofa works fine, and actually works probably better than using a weights bench in a gym, for example, because obviously the cushions of the sofa are a little bit softer, so it's actually a bit more comfortable than a lot of other things. So it's a great exercise to incorporate into your home strength training program. In terms of the barbell hip thrust, I mentioned that as well. We can quite easily perform a single leg version of that exercise, which won't require any additional load as well. You can just use your body weight, and the sofa at home will be a great prop in order to allow yourself to perform that exercise as well. So with a hip thrust, your upper back is placed on an object, usually in the gym. That object would be a weights bench, but at home you can simply use the sofa again. Put your upper back against the sofa. Your bum is going to be on the floor, but fairly close in towards the sofa. And then your feet are going to be flat on the ground with bent knees. From here, you effectively perform a glute bridge. So you push your hips up until they're fully extended in the air, and then you control it back down again. Now, if you perform a single leg version of this exercise, it is quite challenging, and you will not need any additional load. So that's a great exercise I would encourage you to look into. Just have a quick Google search, single leg hip thrust exercise, and you'll quickly get the idea of what's involved and how to set yourself up adequately and appropriately for the exercise. So those would probably be my main two go-to exercises in terms of basic strength development that you can do at home without any equipment. If you did both of those, a bit of jump squatting, split squat jumps as well, like we discussed in terms of power development last week, maybe a little bit of skipping, maybe a little bit of speed bounce. You're starting to develop a fairly well-rounded strength training program here, and you're not using any equipment whatsoever. Obviously, we've not really talked about core development at all. We've just focused on the legs, and obviously leg strength is key for runners, but we do need an element of core strength as well to help with the transfer of the forces, make sure there's no weak links in the chain, make sure we're efficient. So I'll quickly touch on core development as well, I think. And the main point I would say in terms of training your core is that I tend not to use things like crunches, abdominal crunches. I tend not to use sit-ups. All those types of exercise involve kind of shortening your body, making yourself smaller. And if you think about running, we're trying to run tall. We're trying to stay upright. Our body's in a stretched out position. And so when we train the core, we need to select exercises which activate the core in that same elongated, stretched out position. So things like planks would be more suitable than crunches. Obviously, the limitation with things like planks is that it is more of an endurance exercise for most of us. You know, most athletes can hold a plank for quite a long period of time. So the strength stimulus that you would get from the exercise might be limited, but it's a decent starting point. From there, we can move on to things like cable exercises on cable machines, where you're stood in a nice upright position, and the weight of the cable machine is trying to pull you to the side, but you're trying to resist that. You're trying to keep a nice square position. If you Google the Palloff press exercise, that'll give you a good idea of what I'm talking about there. But we can replicate, if you've got resistance bands at home, we can replicate that at home. You can tie one end of a resistance band to a fixed object and then get a stretch on that resistance band and hold the band with your hands at the other end of the band, and the band's going to be wanting to pull you in to the side, and you're just trying to resist that movement. You're trying to stay nice and tall, nice and square, not let the band pull you off to the side. So there are things we can do at home if you've got things like resistance band. If you've not got resistance bands at home, you probably are limited to like planks and things like that. But it's a decent starting point as well. And when you're bearing in mind the other exercises we've gone through, your Bulgarian split squats, the single leg hip thrusts you can do, the squat jumps and the split squat jumps, and a bit of skipping, a bit of speed bounce, all that type of stuff, you really are just starting to develop a well-rounded strength program. So if you'd like any more details on this, if you'd like to figure out how to put this together in a program in terms of sets and reps and how, where you would put it in the training week, just get in touch with me and we can discuss it. We can maybe organize, you know, a Zoom session for you where we can either, I can give you a bit personal training session and we'll put you through your paces, or we can just have a strategy call just to discuss all this, figure out how to place it in your programs. I'd be happy to help any runners out there with this kind of stuff. Make sure your strength training is working for you, essentially. That you need to make sure that what you do is going to transfer well into improving your running performance. So if anyone wants a bit of help out there, reach out to me. My website is foxwoodpersonaltraining.co.uk. On Instagram, it's Foxwood Personal Training. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/foxwoodpersonaltraining. So you can get in touch with me in any of those places, and we'll try and get you running a little bit quicker, a bit more injury-free. Try and improve your performances. And apart from that, I'll see you guys next week. If you do enjoy the podcast, I do have a Ko-fi account where if you want to support the podcast, you can donate the cost of a Ko-fi. Entirely up to you. You don't have to, but the option's there for anyone who wants to. So I'll leave the link to that as well, as the links to my various social media pages and my website. But we'll leave it there, and I'll see you guys for another episode shortly.